Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. To a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
Just Long today.
Long the...
He's the just long. Long. It's just Long. No, just Long. I don't know how to react long. When Long doesn't have a subtitle or a subname.
Yeah, I feel like a part of me just died.
It's like...
Long the Tired. How's that?
Long the Tired.
Yeah, man. You know,
long the exploited labor.
Yeah, Matt. Exploited you know, labor. Think about it, man. Matt's fucking getting off easy, man. You know, he works in the same business we do in the grocery industry, and now all of a sudden he's this little fucking desk worker, just gets to sit over there and tell people what to do and shit. He doesn't have to be out there in the stores anymore. He doesn't have to deal with the holiday shit. Yeah, you get off easy, man.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
Yeah, man.
Bullshit. That's all I say.
Hey, man, I just kind of fell into it.
Then poor Long is not literally supposed to be working that hard. He ends up having to get thrown out on trucks. And they work his ass, and, you know, he's too old for that shit. So,
there's no justice in this world.
No justice. No peace.
There's not.
Union. Union. Union.
Hey, man, my company might go on strike. That's pretty awesome.
What?
Yeah,
and they're voting. Good old days.
They're voting for it this weekend, and they asked me, and I was like, "Fuck no, I got three kids to feed." And they're like, "Oh well, you got to go because you got to support." And I'm like, "Well, you gonna feed my kids?" They're like, "Oh, we're gonna pay you a little bit." I'm like, "A little bit? What the fuck does that mean?" You know?
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, they don't. Said, they never pay you enough.
Let me worry about me. Y'all do whatever y'all got to do. So you know. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, man, it has been kind of a long week for some reason, and it hasn't been like an overly hard week at work. It just feels like a week that wasn't going to end. But now we still got another week and a half of busy time in the grocery business until we get to Thanksgiving. But we'll make it. Be along with survive, Matt, while you sit there at your little desk and piddle your thumbs and play with your wiener. Okay, so.
Yep. Don't tell me what I can do at my desk.
I didn't tell you what you can do at your desk. I'm assuming what you do at your desk. So, you know, you're working overnight. It's quiet. You know, you rub one out now and then.
I know what he isn't doing at his desk, and it's working.
Not all the time. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to mail it
or
in.
Or just today. Bleeding suddenly from heel damage from.
From his ball sack.
High heels to the ball sack, you know. I mean, whatever, man.
Damn stilettos.
You and your wife into some kinky stuff. That's between y'all. So, and but no, it's all good.
Crazy.
But yeah, no. Let's get into the show, man. I'm excited to talk about this movie we're doing here in a few. But we always start the show with download this, where we tell people we watched, streamed, or had a chance to play this week or check out. And who wants to go first?
I'll go.
I don't remember what I've watched.
Oh. I saw that Free Guy was on sale, and I wanted to own it. So I bought Free Guy, and I watched it again. I still enjoy it. You know, it's you know, some people thought it was Ryan Reynolds just going to be Deadpool again, but he's a little different in this movie. I think everyone saw like the leaked part where he, you know, uses Captain America's shield and Chris Evans is watching him. If you don't know the premise, Free Guy, it's basically like the Fortnite movie, like if Fortnite was a movie, and Ryan Reynolds is an NPC in this game that all of a sudden becomes self-aware, and he interacts with this female player, and, you know, falls in love with her, finds out the situation that he's in. Teal Wakiti plays the owner, the CEO of Free City, which is what they renamed the sim and the video game. And he's trying to reboot the system and start a new version of this software that's going to wipe out the AI and the old characters. And there's also another line where the female player kind of sold her company to this, to Tia Wakiti's character. And she's trying to find the code, her code that he's making money off of in the game, so that she can collect her royalties and get her due diligence. So there's a few different themes going on, but it's pretty cool. It's a fun movie. It's not a great movie, but it's entertaining. Entertaining enough to buy for me. Watch that. I saw Shang-Chi was on Disney, so watched Shang-Chi again, and still liked it.
Well, that's
still awesome.
That just hit today on Disney Plus. So.
Yeah. I guess I got lucky. I was like, oh, I didn't know this was on here, so I watched it. Man, the kids watched a bunch of SpongeBob this week, so I had to watch SpongeBob like 50 times, and I had to watch Despicable Me 1, 2, and 3 again.
He's here that long. He sat there and watched them too.
I actually like Despicable Me. I like Steve Carell and Kristen Wiig, and forget who else does the voices, but those are the two main characters, and. Yeah. I mean, they made a ton of money. And they're still making money with this Rise of Gru, which I think got delayed in theaters. I'm not sure. But yeah, that was my week. It's my week.
I don't remember watching anything. I'm sorry. I slacked off this week, I guess. It'll probably come to me
I don't watch a lot, but I did watch I watched the Injustice animated movie. I've never read the comics. I know it's based more on the comics than it's the game, but I feel like they stuffed a hell of a lot of stuff in an hour and 20 minutes. It was moving so fast and so much was going on. I was just like, okay, wait, what's happening here? What's happening there? It's almost an overstuffed film, but it's not really bad. I mean, it's action-packed. Good animation is always in a DC animated stuff. It was a little kind of silly in parts. Like, there was, like, these jokes in it, but yet it's supposed to be this really serious story where Joker kills Lois Lane and Superman gets mad about it, and he decides to start kind of taking things over. But yet he's cracking these weird jokes, and then Batman and him have this, like, thing going on where they're cracking jokes. It was kind of a little odd. I wasn't sure what to make of the dynamic of the way the story is trying to be told. But it definitely felt like something they should have split into a couple of films, because it's just a lot happens in the hour and 20 minutes. But not one of the better entries in the DC Universe movies, but not terrible either. Other than that, I never made it through The Witcher before. I know you guys loved it, so I'm trying to watch it again. I've watched the first episode, and I started the second one, and still having a hard time getting into it. I know you got to get to, like, the third or fourth episode before you really start understanding what's going on. But by golly, it's hard to get
The Witcher. Movie?
But it's hard to get that far, because I know you guys liked it, and I'm trying to give it another chance, but I'm having a hard time just getting through the first couple of episodes. I know someone says you got to get to, like, the third or fourth episode, and then you really understand what's going on. But, geez, it just feels like a journey to get to that third or fourth episode for me. But I'm going to try to get there and make – because, I know the second season's coming pretty soon, and I really – legit like Henry Cavill, I want to try to give it a shot. So maybe I'll get there. And I'm trying to think if there was anything. It feels like there was something else I watched. I mean, just other old stuff. I've been I've been still trying to watch Cowboy Bebop, getting ready for the next. I mean, I can't wait for next Friday. I'm kind of like I don't mind going out of town next Saturday, but like I kind of like, man, that's going to get into my Cowboy Bebop time, because I'm assuming all 8 or 10 episodes are all coming out the same day, because Netflix usually doesn't split their stuff up. I know they've been talking about going to that format where they start splitting stuff up, but I think they haven't done it yet. You know, it seems like they put all their whole season out one day. So looking forward to that next Friday for sure. I guarantee you I will have probably at least watched the first episode before we record next Friday night of Cowboy Bebop for sure. So we'll get there. So long, did it come back to you? Did you check anything out this week?
No, I think all I did was just played FF14 online.
Yeah.
Just, escaping into that world.
yeah. Cool.
Just like the way, you know, you are with Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah, I leveled up a new character in Galaxies, a spy, and I've been playing him a lot this week. It's a different from playing a Jedi. It's a different form of combat, and so far I suck at it, but I'll get there. I'll figure it out. You know, it's like I did what they call AFK leveled him, so I didn't actually level him by doing missions and stuff. I just set the character up to grind. So now I have to go back and learn what all the different things do in the character. So, you know, I'm still learning some of that, but I'll figure it out in due time. I designed him as a PvP character. So long as I can kill some motherfuckers with him, that's all that really matters. So, you know, die, motherfucker, die. So you don't know nothing about Nice. You went and bought yourself a disc of Galaxies and then you never even play. Man, you suck. What a failure. No, I'm just kidding. I mean,
it takes too long, man. I just wish the missions were faster, you know.
It don't take that long. You're just lame. That's all. It's okay. All right. Well, let's get into today's featured film then. A movie that's just 5 years old. It's just such an odd movie because people have heard about it. You know, they've started to see it over the last 5 years, but it wasn't a huge box office hit. It made its money back. And part of that was because the Lionsgate, man, it's so weird. This movie was a Cannes Festival selection. So it was shown at film festivals, but yet Lionsgate didn't believe in the movie. They gave it no promotion budget. There was hardly any television commercials for it, wow. Hardly any advertising. They put it out in August, which is, you know, usually a dead time of the year. But it's found a home on Hulu and home video and word of mouth. Cause this is a really good fucking film, and it stars Jeff Bridges, Chris Pine and Ben Foster. And it is Hell or High Water. A neo-Western, so to speak, where, I guess I'll summarize since I'm talking, two brothers who, their mother has just passed away, and they need to save their ranch. Their mother was basically broke when she died, so they need to try to save the ranch to keep it in the boy. One of the brothers has two boys, and he wants to leave them something. So they come up with a scheme to rob the banks and basically launder the money through casinos and buy the ranch back. And in that time, they discover there's oil in the land also, so it turns out that there was a lot of money in the oil too. But the bank at that point was already foreclosing on the land regards to them finding oil in it. So they come up with a scheme to rob the banks, and they have a sheriff on their tail played by Jeff Bridges, or Marshall. And that's essentially what happens. They go through this journey with these two brothers, and this is a journey movie as much as a bank robbery movie. About these two brothers and how far you would go for your family and to protect them. And Jeff Bridges' character is on his way out trying to retire. And it's kind of his last cowboy ride, so to speak. And he's training a new young partner who he is not always nice to, but yet he respects though also, I think, you know. And the movie has a lot going on at the end of the film where, one of the brothers is killed, and the partner that the marshal is helping with, he is killed. So you end up with some endings that aren't quite expected in this film, I think is a good way to put it. Because I remember the first time I saw this, and the ending wasn't what I expected it to be, but I really liked the ending too. This is a movie that, you know, this is one of those movies, this is a rare movie that I heard about through my mother, of all people. She has a friend of hers that they go to the movies, you know, every now and then. And her friend went and saw this. And my mom came back and she's like, hey, you really got to see this. I think you'd really like it. And then I rented it or something, or I watched it, and I was like, man, this is really good. And I was kind of shocked my mom went and saw this kind of a film, but it's cool that she likes it. And that was my
That was my first. She picked an ace. Yeah,
that was my first time I saw the movie, and I really enjoyed the hell of it the first time I watched it. And I don't recall if I had watched it again until this week, and I liked it even better the second time watching it. And I know you guys kind of the same situation. We've talked about this movie before. Y'all kind of heard about it through word of mouth as well.
Yeah, I heard from y'all, both of y'all.
Yeah, me and Mark throughout 6 months or so, this year actually, mm-hmm. we were talking, singing praises of the movie. Mm-hmm. So when we were having that Korean barbecue dinner, yeah, me, Mark, and Nam, we were talking about how good that movie was.
And then it was on Vudu for like $5. And I think Mark told me that it was on Vudu for $5. And I went and bought it. And hell yeah, it was awesome. Like, yeah. Really good movie. The kind of movie they just don't make anymore, you know?
No, yeah, you're right. It's kind of a throwback to old style filmmaking. It's gritty, and it's definitely, it's a Western, but it's a modern Western or a neo-Western, as they call it. And the mm-hmm. director, Dave McKenzie, does such a good job of giving this like a Western feel, but yet there's no horses, but there's cars and there's cowboys and everything. Even the musical score in this movie is good. The way the movie looks, I mean, it's all shot in New Mexico, but yet it takes place in Texas, which is fine. You know, I have no problem with the New Mexico background looking like Texas, you know, and, very strong performances from Chris Pine to Jeff Bridges and Ben Foster, Ben Foster, we talked about before when we did 3:10 to Human stuff. He always plays bad so well, you know, it's just what he's good at. And, he's really good in this movie. And one of my favorite scenes in this movie is when they're at the diner and, Chris asking, his character's name is Toby. He asked him why he did it. And he goes, well, 'cause you asked me, little brother. That sums up this whole movie. You know, what they're going through is, it's just, well, why not? And they're almost, they're heroes, but they're kind of anti-heroes throughout the film. But yet you kind of find yourself rooting for them, you know, to finish this thing and to save their farm and stuff, even though they're kind of not necessarily good brothers, you know, but they're not super terrible people either, you know, but they're not the best people either as well.
Yeah, you kind of feel for the fact that, you know, the bank, you know, kind of screwed over their mom. You know, they kind of, you know, the gentleman that's helping them with all of this, he, you know, he's like, hey, you know, I'm helping you because the banks basically gave your mom the least amount of money to make sure that, you know, she would go broke again and, you know, they would be able to foreclose on her land for $25,000 and, this is, you're really sticking it to them. And, you know, I like it. And, you know, you kind of root for them, even though they're not, you know, being the best human beings in the world. But, you know, they have a sob story, you know, kind of behind them. And, you kind of feel for that a little bit. You kind of see it from both sides. I think it does a good job of kind of tugging you to, you know, both ways, you know, on both, you know, the protagonist and the antagonist of the story.
Yeah. I actually like a lot of the relationship between Jeff Bridges and his, successor.
Oh yeah.
That's and so then the funniest thing that stuck out, I kept thinking back to the moment when the brothers robbed their first bank. And there's this old cowboy mm-hmm. in the bank. And then they're getting robbed. And then the guy's like shocked, this old white guy. He's like, wait a minute, we're being robbed? You're not Mexican.
Y'all ain't even like, Mexican. What?
That's a little racist. Yeah. Like, you're white? You're not Mexican. Why are you robbing us? There's something in that line.
And then they're like, do you have a gun? Yep. He's like, and then they just send it right next to him. And as soon as they run out, he just starts opening fire on him. That man was a little bit of a character.
Yeah.
Small part. Well, but,
what don't yeah. you want?
Yeah.
They're in the steakhouse. What don't you want? And they're looking mm-hmm. at her. What? What don't you want? Usually people order don't. Steaks.
Yeah. We don't have no trout. That lady was a character.
Well, and I think that yeah. and I think good that side character. It keeps the movie grounded in reality by having characters like that in the film, you know. Because these two marshals are going through all this to tracking down these brothers, but yet they still got to eat and they still got to deal with, you know, the real world too. So I think that gives yeah. the movie a sense of a reality that's grounded to it. Even the scene in the diner where his brother Tanner decides to go and rob a bank just on the fly against the plan. And there's a reason for that. It keeps the movie grounded that this is all kind of happening very fast. I mean, the movie starts out with a bank robbery. It throws you right into the action. And then you pick up the story throughout the film which is very much how the old Westerns yeah. were. You'd be introduced to the cowboy at the beginning of the film. It would be an action scene. You would just kind of be thrown into it, and then they tell the story as you go.
Yeah, yeah. And then whenever Bridges pops up after that robbery, and that diner lady didn't want to give him the $200 tip that she got.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know,
that sassy diner later, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everything was a slow build, and then things get turned up to 10 the moment, the robbery towards the end turns sour,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then the whole
town. Yeah, when they decide to hit the bigger bank.
Goes after them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was reading. Yep.
The smaller one's not opening.
Yeah, and then where Tanner pulls over the side of the road, he pulls out the machine gun type deal. And I was reading that actually there was some – and Matt, you're a gun guy. You know, someone was saying, was that realistic? And sure enough, that was very much – it could be done the way he loaded his clips and everything. In fact, they said Ben Foster trained for – a couple of days on how to do that scene to make it as realistic as possible by switching the clips and everything. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. You can upgrade your trigger. You can upgrade your paddle and everything. And he can, you know, recycle. I mean, if you've seen the training that Keanu Reeves went through for John Wick, I mean, it's mm-hmm. probably something similar Ben Foster went through. So you can run that gun very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wonder if there's video of his range time out there just training. I wonder if he trained at the same place as they usually do. It's that place out in Nevada. I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
But a lot of stars go there a lot.
Yeah. And
I felt that the violence was really graphic towards the end.
Oh yeah. You know? And kind of heartbreaking, you know, that was whenever the partner got shot and you're just like, you know, you kind of feel for Jeff Bridges' character. Death.
Yeah. Ben Foster's death and also, the successor, the deputy's death.
It was sad.
Yeah. Texas Ranger.
It was cool. All the cars that were trying to chase him and stuff. And I was like, that's such a Texas thing. I feel like, you know, there's probably a small town that would happen in.
Sure. There's a lot of Texas stuff in this movie like that. You know, you're right. It feels like that's something that would happen in a small town. There's a small Dr. Pepper joke in there that people may not even get where he asked him to go in there and get a Dr. Pepper. And he gets him a Mr. Pibb instead. He's like, this is like fake Dr. Pepper. He says something like that. Because in Texas, that's how it would be. And then that's a brutal scene, dude, where those two guys in this race car or whatever pull up and they're staring at Tanner. And Tanner's like, oh, yeah, you're looking at 10 of me, and they're like, what? And his brother comes out there and just beats the living shit out of that guy. It's like, holy cow. And that's the first moment in the movie. Well, the thing is, at that point in the movie, you feel like Toby, Chris Pine's character, he's doing the bank robberies, but you don't get the sense that he's all in, if that makes sense. Then when he comes out and he beats the shit out of these guys to save his brother – you realize, okay, he's all in. Because that's really the first really violent thing he does in the film. So you're like, okay, yeah, he's all in for sure. And so that's, to me, is the point in that scene, because you start thinking, well, what is this scene for? And that's why it's established that Toby is just as much into this thing as Tanner is, and he'll protect his brother. And that's why that scene is important. And then the other Texas thing is when Toby goes to visit his kid or see his ex-wife and visit his kid, and he hands him a beer. In Texas, you know, in Texas, if you're on your own property, you are allowed to allow your kid to have alcohol in Texas. People don't know that that's a law here. You know, as long as you're on your own property, you can give your kid a beer if they want. So there are some Texas things in this movie.
Property, yeah.
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 West Texas.
West Texas.
Yeah. Not Jeff like Bridges. Not like the Woodland Hicks here in East Texas.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Hee-haw.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you have the two dynamics of the duos in this movie. We've already talked about Tanner and Toby and how they're brothers and they'll do anything for each other. Well, the flip side of that, you have Marcus and Alberto. And Marcus is ready to retire. He just, you know, one last hurrah. He wants to be done with it. And then Alberto is the up-and-coming marshal who wants to, in some ways, be as good as Marcus is. You know, he wants that career. But yet Marcus treats him like shit for most of the movie, insulting him, racial comments and stuff. But yet Alberto sits there and takes it and just keeps on doing what he does because that's his duty, his job. But then McKenzie uses, you know, edits in the film when they're going to sleep in the hotel and the camera stops on Alberto's face for a minute. You see the sadness in his face and that, you know, he's there, he's taking this abuse, but yet he's doing his job. But then yet, you know, there's a mutual respect for each other too when they have a laugh about the lady in the diner or whatever. And then at the end of the film, when Alberto is suddenly shot, you know, you see it immediately, Marcus's face. He's distraught and he's upset. So, you know, he respected him too. So I think it's an interesting dynamic. That's the opposite of the brothers.
Yeah. The jokes are funny. That you mentioned that hotel scene or the motel scene. And, they have that, you know, evangelistic preacher on and he's like, oh, God don't watch this. And he's like, he watches this and they put it on football. And he's like, don't worry, the soccer game's on it later.
Yeah. Some of his jokes are funny. Some of them are kind of mean. Yeah.
And then he's like, where'd that start anyway? A bunch of Aztecs kicking around a skull. That sounds like something an Indian would do. He's like, that one's for your Indian side. He's like, I'm Catholic.
and he goes, oh, yeah, how about man, that?
he gets him right back right afterwards because he's like, when I die and you're standing over my grave, it's my teasing that you'll miss. And he's like, hopefully that'll be tomorrow. And he's like, that's a good one. And then, you know, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't go that way. You know, a little foreshadowing in that scene, but their banter's real good. Really good element of comedy, you know?
Yeah. And Bridges is excellent in the movie too, delivering it. And he, you know, Bridges has been on a roll the last several years, a lot of good roles, and he's really good in this movie too. And, I mean, everyone's really good at this movie. It's a really well-acted movie, you know. And Chris Pine is going out of his way to make sure he's not typecast as just, you know, Captain Kirk and stuff. And he's done a lot of roles like this, and he's legitimately really. And strangely, is because of his Star Trek schedule, they only had him for about 2.5 weeks to make this movie, so they had to shoot a lot of his stuff quick. But he's really good in the movie, you know.
Yeah. I read that, and they had to. I think they filmed it like almost like set after set after set.
Yeah.
To kind of keep the momentum going. Yeah.
Yeah. They filmed everything else and he came in the last 2.5 weeks and they filmed all of his sequences in order. And he only, and throughout that, he only worked with Jeff Bridges one day, and that's for the ending of the movie. And let's talk about that for a minute. So, you know, Jeff Bridges, Marcus character, you know, kills his brother. His brother basically lures the police away from Toby so that Toby can escape. And Toby escapes with the money and launders the rest of the money. And, you know, and he buys his farm back essentially, but his brother is killed in the shootout with the police in that small town. And, So we flash forward, you know, a couple months later or whatever, and Marcus is retired, but the case is still bothering him. He can't figure out how Toby isn't connected. And the current lady in charge tells him, like, Marcus, he's not a suspect. You know, he didn't do anything. We can't find anything on him. So he goes and he visits him at the house. And so we kind of get an ambiguous ending as to whether, you know, Marcus is going to decide in his retirement to take him down or not, and basically tells him, like, hey, I know you got away with this. But Toby never plays his hand. He plays it cool the whole time, says, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is they're drilling oil in this land, you know? And but it's almost like they know what each other's at. It's that old gunfighter thing. Kind of like at the end of at the end of A Few Dollars More, where Lee Van Cleef and Clint Eastwood go their separate ways, even though they know they wanted to kill each other. You know, it's very much an old Western motif ending. And I think it's brilliant the way McKenzie ends this film, you know, with leaving it open as to whether Marcus comes back as an old cowboy to try to take out Toby or not, you know, or vice versa. Yeah. Toby told him too, hey, maybe I'll kill you, you know?
And of course Bridges went to the bank to try and get him to get them to investigate. But just like the advice that Toby got, he used Midland Financial, or not, as Texas Midland Bank to do the trust on the land, so that they wouldn't investigate him and investigate their own client that was bringing in like $150,000, you know, every 2 months or whatever it is. But yeah, and then it's like he, you know, even in his retirement, he was still trying to figure it out, still beating at him. So that was a cool little, like you said, ambiguous ending.
No.
Yeah, man, this movie has it all, man. I feel like it has all those elements of a, you know, good quality one and a, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just an iconic movie.
I mean,
you know,
rewatching it this week, I mean, I could easily put this on a top 10 of the decade for that 2010 to 19 decade. Cause I mean, this is a great, great film. It's really well acted, really well shot. And a really good story.
Yeah. I'm surprised it didn't make more, you know, it was projected a $12 million budget, made $37 million, which
is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, at least it made three times its money. But yeah, I feel like it probably should have made more.
And it was, you know? It was nominated for Best Picture, and I think it had four or five Oscar nominations. So you know, it did well on its own merits.
Yeah,
it did. I give it an A. That's easy A+.
Easy A. Yeah, I'm with you, Long.
Yeah, I think I give it A+. I think this is a pretty highly rated film. I was sort of trying to think if there's any shortcomings in the movie, and. Nothing I can directly think of, honestly, you know. I mean, I think it's a pretty solid film, you know. You know, if I had any shortcoming, maybe the side story between Toby and his ex-wife and his kids, it's kind of thrown in there to develop his character a little bit more and to give you a reason as to why they're doing this besides his mother died. Maybe that could have been a little more developed, but that might be the only small beef I might have with it, you know. I think Ben Foster is excellent in it. So is Chris Pine. And I said before, I've always thought Ben Foster could have been a bigger star than he is, because he's so good in almost every movie I've seen him in. You know, even that bad
that scene in the hotel.
Oh yeah,
the front desk lady. Yeah. He's like, I'm the worst kind. He's like, you'll think of me when you're in your nursing home, and you'll giggle. And then that was enough to get her to come to his room.
Banging her, yeah. I mean, even in that bad mechanic movie with Jason Statham, he's even good in that, man. He's just he's a good actor, man. I like to see him on screen.
Well, any actor standing next to Jason Statham is a better actor. No, I'm joking. Well,
sure. Jason Statham.
But
he punches a shark.
That's he cool. did.
Yeah,
and I still haven't seen Meg.
That's all they ever won.
I know
that was a good movie.
I think it's on Hulu. I need to watch it. Yeah,
it's fun. It's fun. You know.
Yeah,
yeah.
But a solid A+. Good stuff. Watch Hell or High Water. What's funny is this was not last week when we recorded. This was not on Hulu, but it is now. So, they update movies every week. So sometime in the last week, this movie showed up on Hulu. So if you haven't seen Hell or High Water and you have a Hulu account, by all means, watch this movie. You will, you'll thank us later. All right, well, let's get into the top five. The top five is kind of based off on some news that we're going to talk about in a little bit, as Disney Plus Day is today, and they announced revival of the X-Men, the animated series, which we'll talk about more in a minute. So we thought we would do top five cartoons we wish to see revived. As that has become a thing lately, Masters of the Universe Revelations is on Netflix, and that's a continuation of the original Funimation cartoon. And there's a sort of offshoot continuation of Batman the Animated Series coming to HBO Max next year. So this has kind of become a thing. So and Long is going to play off of ours because he had a busy day at work and did not have time to do it, and that's okay. We'll just make him pay us back later or something. I don't know. I was trying to think of something smart-ass to say and it didn't work.
I'll suck your dick, man.
Fuck no, never mind, man. And okay. So I guess I'll start at number five. I have this is kind of, I'm reaching a little bit with this, but when Fox made the RoboCop cartoon, they had the RoboCop cartoon was canceled and they had a little money left over, so they did a X-Men special called Pride of the X-Men, which is what the very popular X-Men arcade game was based off of. And it was only one episode. It aired as a special on Fox one Saturday morning, found a home on DVD or not. It's never been released on DVD, on VHS, but you can watch it on YouTube. And I always wanted to see what that would have been like as an actual X-Men cartoon. There's actually a website out there that took the idea and made like a fantasy season one. If they had made 24 more episodes and he made plot synopsises for them all, it's kind of cool. So that would, I was always thought it'd been cool if they had done a X-Men, 1989, 1990-ish cartoon based off that special and see where it went.
Nice. For me, I've got Animaniacs. First appeared in 1993 and ran 13 seasons.
But that's been revived. It's on Hulu.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it is. It's on Hulu.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
You didn't know this? I've watched it.
It's on Hulu. No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
It debuted this year.
Yeah. Had a revival on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yes. There's new Animaniacs episode.
Come on, Matt.
They even have Pinky in the Brain. Idiot.
There's a, Pinky in the Brain. I don't know, but I remember Pinky in Brains or not, but there is new Animaniacs on Hulu.
Oh, okay. Man, that sucks. I mean, it's a good thing, but, well, fuck my list then,
At number four, man, this is an easy one for me. Man, I would love if Kevin Smith had the opportunity to bring the Clerks cartoon back. It only lasted six episodes, but those six episodes are so good. And I know Kevin has talked about it before, that if he could find a studio and get behind it, he'd love to bring it back. But that would be a good one for me. I'd love to see the Clerks cartoon make a comeback because it definitely was killed by ABC much sooner than it should have been. This is another one of those things. It was definitely a product of its time, probably too soon, because now adult animation, no problem, right? We all know this with the popularity of Family Guy and Rick and Morty and stuff. A cartoon like Clerks would thrive today, but 20 years ago, audiences just weren't ready for it yet.
Yep. Number four for me, Captain Planet, baby. That's right.
90s kids.
You may sigh, but Captain Planet ruled. We got a taste of it as with Don Cheadle and whatever that was that he appeared in. He started turning people into trees and making their body parts split in half. And it's like, what would happen if Captain Planet came back today? John Cheadle's like ripping people apart. Now you're a tree. Yeah, man. Captain Planet.
All right. Then.
Go Planet.
At number three, this is probably my newest cartoon on the list, and this is not that old. And that's the Green Lantern, the animated series that aired a few years ago that was CGI. So good. Man, that show, it was setting up so much good stuff from the Green Lantern mythos. And it just got canned because it was too expensive to make and it didn't make it past the two seasons. I actually have the DVDs just because I found them cheap at Half Price Books, and that was such a good show. I mean, that was really, really well done Green Lantern cartoon, but unfortunately just didn't last. And, you know, if they never did a revival of it, that'd be cool.
Nice. I've got a throwback for my number three. I've got Popeye. You know, I used to watch reruns of it in the morning. And I think maybe you could do something with a revival.
You're absolutely right. And it's funny you said that because on HBO Max, you know, they have a lot of those old Popeye cartoons. And the kids were watching some of them the other day. And it almost happened about 2 years ago. The same studio that made the Peanuts movie, the Blue Sky, that's owned by 20th Century Fox, they had test footage for a Popeye film, and it was going to happen. But then we all know that Disney bought 20th Century Fox, and they closed Blue Sky Studios. They basically folded it into their other animation studios. So if Disney had not bought 20th Century Fox, we might have gotten a Popeye movie from Blue Sky Studios. So I think the test footage might be available out there on YouTube. I'm not sure, but I know I saw it at some point. So, but no, Popeye would be cool. At number two, this is an obvious pick. Both my last two picks are obvious, but a true revival of G.I. Joe, a real American hero. And I know we've had some G.I. Joe cartoons. I've been close to it over the years, but nothing like that original cartoon with all the different characters and the real Cobra Commander. So I think G.I. Joe, man, would be ripe for a comeback, especially with all the retro toys that are out there and stuff.
Absolutely.
I like to add one in.
Yeah.
I would love to see another Ghostbusters cartoon series.
Oh, yeah. I liked Ghostbusters Extreme whenever it came out.
Dude, you're the only one who liked that.
Yeah. Well, it was Ghostbusters to me, and I was also
young. Yeah, because, like, so watch it now, I'm telling you. Ghostbuster fans don't even claim it. They hate it so much. Yeah.
I like the premise. I like Egon as the professor, you know, tries to train a new wave of Ghostbusters. Yeah. Ghostbusters.
Yeah, hardcore Ghostbuster fans absolutely hate that cartoon.
I got this extra credit question right. The only person out of my entire class because I watched Ghostbusters Extreme. And it was the Riddle of the Sphinx. You know what the Riddle of the Sphinx is? So the question is, what creature walks on all fours in the morning to two limbs in the afternoon and three legs in the evening? You want to take a quick guess at what it might be?
Not really.
It's a man. So in a man's early age, you're a baby, you walk on all fours. When you get older, you walk on two legs. And when you're older, you walk with a cane. That's the Sphinx's riddle. And I got it right. And I was the only person in my class that got it right. And my teacher's like, how did you learn that? And I was like, Ghostbusters. Egon, man, he prepared me for an extra credit class question in high school. So,
fun little story. Give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, man.
And your number two cartoon is?
Batman Beyond.
I almost had that on my list, but I felt like, though, what more could you do with it, you know?
I liked Terry. I liked the premise of the old man Batman, the old Barbara Gordon. I like some of the bad guys that they interjected. The revival of the Joker, Ink was a cool villain. But yeah, maybe you are limited. You know, it's almost like you would have to do these rehashes of old Batman villains to try and make it relevant.
Well, and I like Batman Beyond, but I started thinking about, like, what more could you really do with it that was already done? You know?
Only three seasons, though. I felt like, you know, maybe it should have gone a little more than three seasons.
My last one, because I do not count that Netflix show as a revival, and that is Transformers, man. I mean, you know, the Netflix show is all right. Yeah, it's Generation One, but it's not a true revival of the Transformers we grew up with at all. You know, it's just new stories with those characters. That's all it is. But I'm talking a true revival of the Hasbro animation series from the 1980s. Because, you know, I felt like, if you go back and watch those last Transformers episodes that came out after the movie came out, some of them were good, but a lot of the animation was real rushed. They were getting cheaper. The budgets were low, and it just felt like the studio didn't care those last 6 to 9 episodes of the show. But a true Transformers revival would be, I'd be all for that. I know Long wouldn't complain about Transformers revival.
No.
Oh, not another one.
Oh, I know. We've had a lot of great cartoons. You know, Beast Wars is good. Transformers Prime is pretty good. But you know, a true generation one, man. And that's the thing is they've teased us over the last several years about a generation one comeback, but we keep getting these kind of cheap copies. They're not, we talked about this. They don't feel like real generation one cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the anime was boring. It's like, come on, this is Transformers. You're doing, sitting around talking about a bunch of shit. Like, we want to see robots fighting each other, you know? So it's like, you know, we've been cock teased with Transformers revivals.
Cock teased. All right. So my number one, the Super Mario Super Show, man.
Oh man. I was thinking about that.
Man, I feel like you need some character development with Mario and Toad and stuff still. And they even had like this little, tangent cartoon with Link and the Legend of Zelda stuff. And I feel like you could maybe bring that back, you know, in some sense.
I guess.
You know? And it had a cool ass theme.
Have you watched it lately?
I have. Four years ago I watched it.
It's rough. Really rough. It's yeah.
But the cartoon's not bad. Not horrible.
Yeah.
But sometimes, usually, if it's a little disappointing, those are the ones that could probably succeed at a revival. Possibly. You know, yeah.
Well, let's get to some news because there's quite a bit actually this week with the Disney Plus Day being today. So some stuff to talk about. They announced a lot of stuff, a lot more Marvel shows. But we did that top five because they announced that the X-Men. This was a rumor last year, but they're going to bring the X-Men animated series back. They're going to call it X-Men 97. It's going to take place right where season 5 left off. And a lot of the voice actors are coming back from the original show. It's due for sometime in 2023, and I'm pretty excited for this. I think it'll be cool. And X-Men was arguably one of the best cartoons they ever put out. And so it should be cool. You know, there's already people arguing, well, what about a Spider-Man revival? Well, from one thing, there's some rights issues with that. Spider-Man, actually, even though it's on Disney Plus, I think I read somewhere that the original cartoon is owned by Fox, and that Disney pays Fox to be able to stream that on the thing. Where they, I guess, the X-Men rights, even though it was made by Fox, apparently had reverted back to Marvel, so they can make X-Men the animated series. It was something along those lines that had to do with the rights. That's why they're doing X-Men. And not only that, though. I hate to tell people this, and I know, Matt, you're a big fan of Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man, too, but Spider-Man's not as good as X-Men. It's just not, you know.
Oh, the 94 animated series was really good. I don't know if it was better than X-Men, but it was good.
It was good, but it's not as good as X-Men.
It's hard to compare the two. Yeah.
Well, Spider-Man is so held back by the studio and the animators. Like, Spider-Man never punches anybody. There's a lot of things they had to do to make it educationally correct, so it caused it to show some issues, but I think it's pretty cool they're bringing that back. I'm kind of excited for it. Any thoughts, Long, on X-Men? Yay.
I remember watching the classic one and was surprised on how quickly they went into the famous comic story, comic book arcs, you know, but I don't know, man. Like, I know a few years ago I tried to see what's going on with X-Men, but it's just not accessible at all because there's so many X-Men universes.
Oh, sure.
Continuity issues.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind another Batman animated revival.
Yeah. Well, they have that Batman, Cape Crusader show that's coming. It's supposed to be sort of a shoot-off revival of it in a way. So, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This has been rumored that Dan Trachtenberg is shooting a new Predator movie, and they confirmed it today, and it's called Prey. And it's going to go direct to Hulu sometime in 2022. And it's Predator in, like, what, 300 years ago or something? 800 years ago? I don't know. It's like Predator in the past against, I guess, an Indian tribe of some sort. Interesting. We'll see. You know, I makes you wonder that's going straight to Hulu, how much they believe in the film. So, you know, anytime I see that and I'm seeing it's going straight to Disney Plus or Hulu, I'm like, eh, okay, we'll see. You know. We got a sizzle reel for the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. It's only a minute long. It really doesn't say much, but it basically has Ewan McGregor talking about how excited he is to be in this. And we get some concept art and stuff, and it looks like we are going to get Hayden Christensen coming back as Darth Vader and facing off against Obi-Wan. Yeah, I'm down for sure, you know. Definitely.
Yeah, let's see if younger Darth Vader moves different from, you know, Darth Vader we knew from.
More like the Rogue One Darth Vader.
The original trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. We got Warwick Davis giving us a very funny short video introducing the cast of Willow for his Willow TV series. I'm a Willow fan, so I hope it's done well. And the video actually is pretty funny. You can watch it on Disney Plus also, where he introduces the cast, and it's a good sense of humor about it because the girl that played Enfys Nest is going to be in the Willow show, and he comes up to her and he says, "Do I know you?" And she's like, "Yeah, I was in Solo with you." And he's like, "Oh, the one Star Wars movie I didn't watch." So it's pretty funny how he handles it. So Willow, I know Long, you kind of hate on Willow sometimes, man, but could be good.
I never hated on Willow. I was just,
I like Willow. I recently rewatched it not that long ago, and it holds up pretty well. It's a pretty good movie.
Willow.
And
the transformation
scene. We got our first look at She-Hulk today, a little short clip, and that looks pretty cool. Looks like Mark Ruffalo is going to appear in the show too as Bruce Banner. We got our first look at Moon Knight. We see Oscar Isaac transform into Moon Knight very briefly. We got confirmation that Nick Fury will be appearing in the Secret Invasion TV show. We're going to get an Agatha spinoff show, which I don't know why. You know, that's just my personal feeling on that. I don't care, you know. I mean, but that's some stuff that came out of Disney Plus Day. And we're also going to get a Marvel Zombies animated show and a Spider-Man animated show that will tie in with MCU. It's basically before he shows up in Civil War. What was he doing in those months or year before Civil War? So we got an animated series on Spider-Man called Freshman Year. Nice. So that'd be cool. So that's all the stuff that came out of Disney Plus. A lot of stuff. Anything?
Oh,
yeah. Go ahead.
That leaked picture of the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, but no one knows if that's true. It's all based on rumor. So I don't. Yeah. Yeah. I don't really talk rumors.
But you saw it.
I saw it on accident because it came across on Twitter and I wasn't looking for it. But okay. I personally think it looks very photoshopped. It's just too easy to fake that kind of stuff. That's my only thing.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Henry Cavill's been doing some press for the second season of The Witcher and stuff, and he very much wants to come back and play Man of Steel. I mean, Warner Brothers, why are you not making this happen? He wants to play the role. I'm trying to figure out. Marvel's over here making all this fucking money with their Marvel movies. Warner Brothers, make this happen. It's like, come on, man, you know? And Man of Steel was successful at the box office. There's no reason not to make this happen.
Don't be like Sony Pictures or Universal.
Before he gets to
Paramount.
But yeah, there's no reason not to make this happen. So I hope that does. Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron movie is slightly delayed. And people are reading a lot into this saying that, you know, Kathleen Kennedy doesn't know what she's doing. Patty Jenkins isn't ready. A lot of it has to do with COVID restrictions, the fact that she may end up having to film Wonder Woman 3 first based on contracts. You know, and Disney is trying to honor that contract she has with Warner Brothers to film Wonder Woman 3 first. But doesn't mean we're not getting the Rogue Squadron movie. It's just slightly delayed. So we'll see. And then last bit of news I have is we lost Dean Stockwell this week. Great character actor, 85 years old. On one of my favorite television shows of all time, Quantum Leap. And that's what I'm always going to remember him as Al. And So may he rest in peace, man. Quantum Leap was such a good show. And there had been some recent talk about a revival of that. You know, Scott Bakula has been talking about it. And who knows if that'll happen now that Stockwell's not available, or maybe they find a new Al. But always will remember
him. He was always the voice, right? Yeah. Like
he was a computer guy, yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I remember like one episode because I watched some of it, maybe like 20 episodes. But you know, I remember I had to ask you how it ended because they would never play it in chronological order.
Well,
and he had to win this pool game, and he gave him this cool tool that would, you know, have a laser pointer show where the shots needed to go and stuff.
Well, then they had an issue where Netflix finally fixed it. Netflix had it in chronological order, but then they didn't have the last episode on there because there was something that had to do with rights issues. This is why the last episode wasn't available for streaming. And I'm not sure if the show's available anywhere now or not, if they ever corrected that. I have to look because it's such a good show. But rest in peace to Dean Stockwell. So that's all the news we have. It was, like I said, quite a bit compared to some weeks, but a lot to talk about. So good stuff coming out of Disney Plus Day. And also, Matt, you mentioned earlier, Shang-Chi's available on Disney Plus now, so is Jungle Cruise. And IMAX formatted movies, a lot of their movies that were shot in IMAX are apparently on Disney Plus, which I've never quite understood. So no one has an IMAX screen at home. So what is an IMAX formatted movie at home? I don't know. Whatever. Well, let's preview next week's movie then. As we decided this right before the show. But next week in theaters, Ghostbusters Afterlife hits. I have a six-year-old who's super excited for this movie. And in turn, I'm kind of getting excited to see it. Now, I wasn't super excited, but as it gets closer, I'm like, man, I'm kind of looking forward to watching this. So we already covered the original Ghostbusters on the show. So we're going to go back and look at the sequel next week, which is just not as well received by audiences, but it still has its fans. And that is Ghostbusters 2.
At the stroke of midnight, on New Year's Eve of the last decade of the 20th century, America's largest city is about to pay for the nastiness of its inhabitants. When that day comes, when the slime starts to rise.
The Titanic just arrived.
When ghosts start arriving by the boatload.
We gotta find the guys.
There's only one thing to do.
Look out! Look out!
Sometimes weird things happen. Someone has to deal with it. And who are you gonna call?
All right, suck in the guts, guys. We're the Ghostbusters.
The superstars of the supernatural are back to nuke the spooks.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
We be fast and
they be slow.
Make some time.
Don't put any of those old cheap moves on me.
No.
It's different.
I have all new cheap moves.
Raise your spirits.
If we don't do something by midnight, you will be remembered in history as the man who let New York get sucked down into the 10th level of hell.
And kick some slime.
Looks like a giant Jell-O mold.
I hate Jell-O.
Oh, come on. There's always room for Jell-O.
Happy New Year.
Hose them.
Ghostbusters 2.
You're short, your belly button sticks out too far, and you're a terrible burden on your poor mother.
Bill Murray. Dan Aykroyd. Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis, and Ernie Hudson in an Ivan Reitman film. Ghostbusters 2.
We're the best, we're the beautiful, we're the only Ghostbusters. Yeah. We're back!
Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters!
So we'll talk to creepy painting guy next week and all that on the show. I do like the courtroom scene in the movie. That was pretty well done. So we'll take a look back at Ghostbusters Nostalgia next week and talk Ghostbusters 2 on the show. Any thoughts on Ghostbusters 2? A little preview from you guys?
Man, when I was a kid, I watched that movie on a loop.
Yeah, man.
Well,
Bobby Brown on our own.
Yeah, Wyatt doesn't like it as much as the first one because of the painting. It's kind of a little scary to Wyatt. As much as he likes Ghostbusters, he's not a big fan of the second one. So, but it'll be fun next week on the show. We'll talk that as we get ready for Ghostbusters Afterlife coming out in theaters. But until next week, thank you as always for listening. TheRebelRadioPodcast.com is your website to go to. Continue to stay safe out there. And until next week, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Exhausted.
As always, thanks again for listening. Like I said, and remember, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.